There are moments in our lives when we feel complete, fulfilled, totally joyful. For two of our members, they are about to experience a moment like that in just a few minutes. Aiden and his brother Ridge are going to be baptized, and then Aiden will complete the sacraments of initiation by being confirmed and later receiving his first Holy Communion today. We celebrate these joyful moments together because we are called to be a community. Paragraph 1325 of the Catechism says, "The Eucharist is the efficacious sign and the sublime cause of that communion in the divine life and the unity of the people of God by which the church is kept in being. It is the culmination both of God's action, sanctifying the world in Christ, and of the worship we offer to Christ and through Him to the Father in the Holy Spirit. Holy Communion is both a sign and a cause of divine life and unity. It is absolutely necessary for the life of the church. The Eucharist comes about because of God's action and the worship we offer here. Our faith is a key element of the Eucharist. We unite ourselves to Christ, who makes us sharers in His body and blood to form a single body. In our gospel today, Jesus has been teaching and healing the people who have followed Him to a deserted place. As the day is drawing to a close, the apostles point out the crowd will need food and lodging. Jesus tells them, give them some food yourselves. In the story of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, God shows how He performs miracles by starting with the materials that we provide. We cannot do it on our own, but with His grace, miracles are accomplished. The gospel continues, then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. St. Luke uses 4 words here that he also uses in the account of the Last Supper: taking, blessing, breaking, and giving. This is a deliberate way of connecting this miracle story to the institution of the Eucharist. Presented here, it points out that God gives us the Eucharist to feed us by starting with materials that we provide. We remember that at every Mass at the offertory. The bread and wine to be consecrated are brought forward to represent our gifts that will be multiplied. This goes beyond physical gifts, the work of human hands. We are also offering the work of our minds and hearts, our time and talent, in the service of God to our community. Our first reading is a very short story from the book of Genesis. It describes an offering of bread and wine. It presents one of the most mysterious figures in the Old Testament, Melchizedek. He is described as both a king and a priest of God Most High. The background to this story is that Abram's nephew Lot has been taken captive, and Abram gathers a small army to rescue him. On his way home, he is met by this king of Salem, which is another name for Jerusalem. Being both a king and a priest, Melchizedek anticipates King David in his own life, as well as representing Jesus, who is both our king and priest. Since Melchizedek is a pagan, he also represents the invitation to all people that God provides to join His Son in the church. This is all accomplished through the sanctifying action of the Holy Spirit. Unity through worship is our goal, but it is difficult to accomplish. Our second reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians is an example of difficulties caused by our fallen human nature. This section of the letter is devoted to regulation of conduct at the liturgy. St. Paul addresses problems in the celebration of community meals. The Corinthians have forgotten the meaning of the Lord's Supper. Each one goes ahead with his own supper, and one goes hungry while another gets drunk. St. Paul recalls that tradition for them of the proper worship and reminds them of its implications. This is the earliest written account of the institution of the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. The narrative emphasizes Jesus' action of self-giving and His double command to repeat His own action, "Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus recognized the difficulties that we would have in celebrating his sacrifice worthily. He instructed his apostles on how to pray together. This has been passed down to us in the prayer we use to prepare to receive his body and blood, the Our Father. Saint Cyprian was a bishop in the 3rd century, ministering in northern Africa. He wrote a number of treatises on the Our Father that have been handed on to us. In these writings, he emphasizes the communal perspective of the prayer. We do not pray, "My Father," but "Our Father." We pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." He goes on further, "It is not for himself alone that each person asks to be forgiven, not to be led into temptation, or to be delivered from evil. Rather, we pray in public as a community, and not for one individual, but for all. For the people of God are all one. God is then the teacher of harmony, peace, and unity, and desires each of us to pray for all people, even as he bore all people in himself alone. We celebrate Holy Communion together because his body and blood make us holy for the sake of the unity of the world."